of Texas versus the Texas Lottery Commission. All right. Mr. DeAndrea, is that right? DeAndrea?
Yes, Judge Stewart. May it please the court.
Oh, no.
Louder than that? All right.
I said theater voice before. Okay, your college football weekend voice. And maybe theater voice didn't work, so we'll football voice in the mic and everybody will be happy.
May it please the court. The charities in the caption are free to use all of their charitable revenue to lobby the Texas legislature, with the exception of the sliver of revenue that they derive from conducting charitable bingo operations. The United States Constitution does not prohibit states from giving away subsidies while at the same time imposing conditions on the way those subsidies are spent. The trial court's injunction rests on an overbroad application of the unconstitutional conditions doctrine and should be reversed. The government is allowed to gift and then condition. First Amendment law is full of examples of this. The NEA gives away art grants and then imposes conditions on the artist, telling them basically not to make bad art. The government gives out scholarship money and tells students what books they may buy. The FCC gives out broadcast licenses and tells the recipients they must carry channels that advance the public good. And when the government subsidizes charities by allowing them to conduct bingo, which would otherwise be illegal, it may condition the charity's use of those bingo proceeds. Indeed, the state could have gone much further. For example, the state could have allowed charities to conduct bingo operations with the condition that those bingo revenue only be spent on care packages for troops overseas, for example. Now, that would cut out all sorts of constitutional activity. They couldn't speak, they couldn't buy guns with it, but that's completely allowed because the state creates that subsidy. It can condition it. A plaintiff's brief calls this an absolute ban on speech and cites Citizens United, but it's far from that. Citizens United was an absolute ban on speech. In that case, the entities were prohibited from lobbying, full stop, with any money, not segregated funds, but general funds from their corporate revenue. So it wasn't an unconstitutional conditions case. It was a complete ban. This case is quite different. In this case, they are only prohibited from lobbying with the subsidy money, and they may spend as much of their own money as they want. That's what makes it an unconstitutional conditions case, very different from Citizens United. And in First Amendment case law, there is a huge chasm between an absolute ban on speech and partial restrictions on speech. And there's a big difference between telling someone they may not spend general funds on lobbying and telling them that they might not spend segregated funds that derive from a state subsidy on that same activity. It doesn't matter in this case that the subsidy takes the form of a license rather than a direct cash transfer or a tax exemption. Functionally, these things are all the same, and the First Amendment simply does not care how the government structures a subsidy. For example, Texas could have operated these bingo halls itself. The state could run it the same way it does the Texas Lottery. It could operate these bingo halls, and then it could take the cash and give it to whichever charities it chooses. And in the same way, it could then say, you may spend this money on certain things, and these are the activities you may not spend the money on. Here, Texas has chosen to have the charities themselves bear some of the burden of operating these bingo halls, in addition to gaining the revenue. But that structure has no First Amendment importance. It doesn't matter that in the case of a direct cash transfer, for example, the state operates the same way as in my hypothetical. It runs the program itself and gives away the money. In a license case, it allows the charities to run it and keep that money. And in the tax exemption cases, it's something in between. It tells the charity that your donors, so the money there too, the money doesn't actually pass through state coffers. There the money goes from donors, taxpayers, straight to the charity. It never actually goes through the state treasury, but there too the state says, we're going to create a tax exemption that allows donors to give to that charity. And in those cases, too, that's that sort of subsidy stream, even though it doesn't go through state coffers, is something that the Supreme Court has allowed the government to put conditions on. So what matters I think, when you look at cases like this, is whether the license itself is a subsidy meant to advance the public good, or whether it's a form of professional regulation, that, like a cosmetologist license or a...
Is there agreement that this is a subsidy?
No, Your Honor. That was a big dispute below in the briefing, although the trial court's order doesn't dwell on it. The briefing below did. And I think that is one of the difficult parts of this case, is figuring out. My friend in opposition has raised the professional licenses as an example, and I think that is the line that the court's trying to draw. Is this a professional license, like a cosmetology license, that regulates primary conduct of the recipient, or is it more like a subsidy, like in the tax exemption cases to charities or the broadcast license cases? Is this a subsidy granted to someone to advance the public good, or are we just regulating their primary conduct? And we think it's the first. We think this is nothing like saying, we're not telling these charities, you know, here's a bingo license, we're going to regulate you like you're a butcher who needs regulating, and we're regulating your primary conduct as an operator of bingo. The state created this to subsidize charities, and that's the purpose of this program, and that's the purpose of these restrictions, too.
Where there is a subsidy, do we look to whether or not there is a benefit of the subsidy?
Yes, I think that's one of the key points, is a benefit. But it's not just value. Certainly a legal license has a benefit.
That's one of the key points.
Right.
What would the benefit of this subsidy be?
It allows them to – the Texas Constitution and Texas state law has a blanket ban on all gambling. There's a tiny exception to that the legislature has created to allow churches and charities to conduct bingo in an environment free of any competition, since it's otherwise illegal. And that allows them quite a big revenue stream that comes from this. Typically, you know, for smaller charities, this is tiny. These are the church-conducted bingo operations, and they use the money to paint the pews. But there's something much bigger here, and that's third-party administrators have stepped in with turnkey bingo operations. And they approach various charities and say, you, as a status of a charity, are entitled to do this. Sign here on this form. We'll do the bingo operations for you. And we will then give you some percentage of whatever we make, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's that structure that has led to some corruption and why we have to keep a close eye on this. But that turns out to be about an $800 million a year industry in Texas. And so it generates substantial revenue for the charities. And while there is some corruption and a chance they might not make money, it's free of any kind of competition or normal market forces. So that's the subsidy, basically, is a permit to gain revenue from something that would otherwise be illegal.
And these charities are tax exempt?
Yes, Your Honor. These are IRS charities.
Right.
This is typically how they are. They don't have to be necessarily, but the plaintiffs all are, I believe.
Speak up, please.
And there, too, the IRS also has these similar restrictions. They allow some lobbying, but as the Reagan case shows, there are caps on even what those charities can spend. And so it's a very similar sort of structure.
Well, if the monies here were usable for lobbying, et cetera, I mean, does that bleed over into the IRS prohibitions of, you know, 501c3s, et cetera, using money for political purposes, or?
The IRS exempts some smaller amount of money and allows some lobbying for the 501s, is the answer, Your Honor. So they would have to stay within the IRS's cap. But as long as they don't exceed that, then they would be okay in other states, though not in Texas, with bingo money. But I think what the IRS cases show, if it's okay for the IRS to condition the charity's very existence on not lobbying, then I think this is an easier case, because we're not conditioning their existence on lobbying. We're just saying you may lobby all you want with your own money, just not with these program funds.
Is there anything in the record which defines the portion of revenue that a typical charity gets in general from contributions as opposed to from bingo game operation?
There's not, Your Honor, and I'm sure my friend in opposition can speak better to this for at least the charities and the caption. And I assume your point goes to something like coercion. But I would note that there are many, many charities in Texas. I say the vast majority of charities in Texas do not participate in charitable bingo and manage to thrive without doing so. So I would think it'd be very hard, based on that fact alone, to prove up any sort of coercive point. My second answer to that is, if it is true that, say, there were a charity out there that made all of its money on charitable bingo and had no donations from donors, I would say they would bring an as-applied challenge, would be the answer. And then maybe this court could faced with an as-applied challenge by that charity, maybe it would be proper to then consider, is it so coercive that that charity deserves an injunction for itself alone? But what we're dealing with here is a facial injunction against the statute. I think...
On that point, counsel, let me ask you, am I right in understanding that the text of these restrictions on the use of bingo proceeds have been in effect for 3 or 4 decades?
Yes, Your Honor.
Has there ever been a prior applied challenge?
Not that I am aware of, Your Honor. Certainly none reported.
Okay. So we're dealing with a facial challenge 4 decades after the adoption of the statute that put the restriction into effect.
That's right, Your Honor. What instigated this lawsuit in particular was the Texas legislature's budgetary problems. Led to a large amount of lobbying by outside gambling interests to legalize gambling in the state. And the charities involved in the caption, and they admitted as much in district court, wanted to lobby against those efforts because they wanted to be unique purveyors of gambling in Texas. And so, for example, there was a bill to introduce, and this is a fairly small introduction of lobby of gambling, but there was a bill to introduce slot machines at racetracks and in other locations. And so the charities wanted to lobby against that bill because they didn't want the competition from slot machines. And so that's what I think instigated this lawsuit and the PI that resulted. It was this last session.
Let me ask you, because the district court relies on Citizens United to support its decision in favor of the charity.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so if I agreed with you that Citizens United is distinguishable, you prevail.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's the decision that the district court relied on. But your threshold argument is that the claims are not redressable in this case because even if we find that the legislation is somehow unconstitutional, there is the Texas Constitution, which prevents gambling, except in an instance where the legislature carves out some exception and allows it, which is what happened here. And so your first argument, as I understand it from your briefs, is that the claims are not redressable because even if you win on the statute, the Constitution stands between you and what you want to do with this money.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And I apologize for flipping the order here in my oral presentation. I just thought it'd be easier to jump into the meat first. But our first argument in our briefs in here is that it is not redressable. And what makes it, and it's because of a certain strangeness in this case, and that is the background principle in Texas law is that gambling.
They challenged the Texas Constitution.
They did not, Your Honor, and even if they had, they couldn't get anywhere because what it says is all gambling is illegal. And so it's hard to imagine a U.S. constitutional challenge to that. States may ban gambling, and Texas Constitution has banned gambling. And so absent an ability to challenge that, even if they manage to bring down the entire bingo program, all they will be left with is the constitutional provision banning all forms of gambling. And so because of that, they will not be allowed to conduct charitable bingo. And so no injunction from this court can redress their harms because a victory would be pyrrhic. A victory would mean that they were not allowed to gamble, nor anyone else would. So that's it's that strange background condition that makes their claims impossible to redress through a federal injunction. Thank you. I'll yield the remainder of my time to the court.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Mr. Barnstone?
Weekend football boys.
Sorry?
May it please the court.
All right.
My name is Anatole Barnstone, and I represent the 13 organizations who are the plaintiffs and appellees in this case. All these organizations are licensed to conduct bingo in the state of Texas or are the parent organizations. Bingo is a major source of revenue for the over 1,000 licensed charities in Texas. In 2011, charities reported over $29 million in charitable distributions from bingo alone. That's about $30,000 per year per charity, which is a lot more than they can make from bake sales. Just an example, the Greater Killeen Free Clinic is a volunteer-based clinic that provides medical services to low-income, uninsured Texans.
Counsel, I'm not debating the merits of the charities. I think I want to get right to the legal issues. Let me ask you first, because your concern is that you're prohibited from using the money that you get from the gambling. You're prohibited from using that for lobbying. That's your complaint.
For lobbying or for ballot measure advocacy, if there's an issue on the ballot.
But is there any prohibition or restriction against you using money from any other stream of income, using that money for lobbying or supporting or opposing any ballot initiative? Any prohibition against that?
There are federal prohibitions, but not Texas prohibitions.
All right. The statute about which you're complaining in this case doesn't prohibit you from doing that.
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right.
And just to branch off from that, there are no prohibitions on the charity spending other money on speech, but obviously they are prohibited from spending bingo money on speech. And just to answer the court's question, there is evidence in the record about how much of the revenue these bingo charities get in relation to their total revenue, and it is substantial. Most of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which is the lead plaintiff in this case, devotes most of its non-bingo revenue to its administrative costs, which bingo money can't be used for. Therefore, bingo money is the prime source that could be used for speech if VFW was allowed.
Why do you say bingo proceeds can't be used for administrative costs?
That's in the Bingo Enabling Act. That's a separate prohibition, Your Honor, that we're not challenging here. Basically, there's a limited number of things that bingo revenue can be used for. The main prohibition is in Section 2001.454, which deals with charitable purposes.
Let me ask you right there. As I understand it, you are objecting to subsections 2 and 3 of the section that prohibits use of bingo funds.
Yes, Your Honor.
Section 1 of that says you can't use bingo funds to support any candidate for public office. Why is that not unconstitutional if 2 and 3 are?
Well, two reasons. The main reason is if you read Buckley v. Vallejo, the question of whether a corporation or a person can, whether the state can set limits on those contributions is not protected First Amendment speech in the same way that independent expenditures are, such as the ones that were permitted in Citizens United. Citizens United expressly said that they are not touching the issue of personal campaign contributions. They are only addressing independent expenditures. So that's the main reason. Just so the court understands.
And let me ask you right there, is this the first time you've raised a facial challenge to these statutory limitations?
Yes, Your Honor.
And it has never in 40 years been an occasion for an as-applied to be raised?
Well, this statute was introduced in 1983, so a little less than 30 years. Citizens United came out in January of 2010, and the charities filed this lawsuit in April, I believe, or May or June of 2010. So they did this purely on the strength, but mainly on the strength of Citizens United and the rights that Citizens United conferred on nonprofit and for-profit corporations.
Do your fortunes turn on whether we agree with the district court or not that Citizens United, you know, drives this case?
That's a good question, Your Honor. I think that Citizens United is a very important case because it crystallizes the issues here. But I don't think that Citizens United is the most important case. The most important case was a case that was decided a couple of decades back, the Riley versus North Carolina Federation for the Blind v. Riley, where the Supreme Court said that you cannot, under the guise of protecting charities from their own unwise expenditures, prohibit their speech. What they were concerned about in Riley was that charities were spending too much money on door-to-door solicitations. The government tried to restrict that, and the Supreme Court said, no, that's, they used the word.
What government tried to restrict that?
The state of North Carolina, Your Honor.
Why isn't this different where in Texas there is the Texas constitutional prohibition on, you know, gambling, period, and the state then carves out an exception to that otherwise very general, very broad, straightforward prohibition along the lines of, you know, Russ v. Sullivan, et cetera, with Supreme Court, you know, has said states can attach, you know, conditions to doling the money out, et cetera. I mean, in its simplest form, given here where you've got a state constitutional ban and only this, you know, ancillary piece as opposed to other fact situations where generally, I mean, it's a marketplace enterprise, you just money's just kind of generated, and then we've got an issue of whether speech is prohibited. But here, the state constitution, which is not an issue, presumably, why is the statute contrary to the general teachings of Russ v. Sullivan and other cases, not the Citizens United's on the speech, but where the state can attach conditions, if you will, to the spending, et cetera?
I understand the court's question, and that really is the main, not the only, but that is the main dispute here. And I will note that the state hasn't cited a single case that would extend the analogy of Rust v. Sullivan, which deals with actual subsidies, to this situation, which deals with licenses. And I will submit that the Supreme Court has already decided the question of licenses in the case of 44 Liquor Mart, the Rhode Island case, where Rhode Island tried to say that a liquor license holder was not allowed to advertise. And what the Supreme Court said was just the mere fact that the government has elected to license that activity does not give the government basis to restrict speech. So I think that issue has already been decided.
Well, and then that begs another question back to what we asked counsel opposite about, or at least I did, about subsidy. You know, we terms of art here. You construct the case as one analogous to licensing. I take it from the point you just tried to make. I mean, we should be viewing this case that the state's carve out of an exception here is tantamount to licensing these organizations to conduct the bingo, and that's the analysis that is applicable?
Yes, Your Honor. Two words, public funds. There are no public funds being used in the grant of an occupational license, specifically a bingo license or a law license. When you try to extend the subsidy analogy to licenses, what you're basically saying is, once the government has decided to license an activity, it can condition that license on non-speech. So what you've really done is you've allowed the government to, anytime they want to restrict speech, all they have to do is draw a circle around that activity, say no speech can arise from that activity, and their licensing power and their power to restrict speech.
But in this case, the government didn't just decide to license an activity, but for the Texas Constitution making some provision for this exception, this gambling, I mean, we're calling it bingo, this gambling couldn't happen because the Texas Constitution says it couldn't happen. And so I guess, well, and I don't want to stop you from answering that question, but I don't know how, even if we agree with you to strike certain provisions of the Bingo Act. The Texas Constitution is looming out there, and I don't know how you get past what Judge Stewart correctly described as a clear prohibition against gambling.
Hold on.
How do you get past that?
The Constitution says no gambling, but there can be bingo, but bingo has to be used for charitable purposes. And just so it's clear, nothing in the court's injunction deals at all with the question of charitable purposes. There is still a requirement in the Act that all revenue from bingo must be devoted to charitable purposes. That has not been affected. There is no issue as far as spending money for charitable purposes.
And you're telling me lobbying is a charitable purpose?
Well, Your Honor, it certainly can be, and I'll give you examples from the record. The Veterans of Foreign Wars lobbied the legislature in the last session in order to pass property tax exemptions for disabled veterans. They were successful in that. They've also lobbied the legislature in order to pass controls on payday lenders that you see a lot around military bases. That furthers the interest of veterans. The charitable purpose of veterans is actually defined in the statute, which is to advance the interest of veterans and their and members of the armed forces.
What lobbying then does VFW want to do that it has not done?
Well, Your Honor, I guess all we've said in the record is that the restriction is a substantial restriction on VFW and the other charities from using their revenue for political speech.
Is it correct to say that in 40 years, VFW has never raised an applied contention about this statutory language? Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
So I don't understand what it is by knocking out the subparagraphs 2 and 3 you achieve in the way of a broader scope for lobbying. What do you want to lobby about that would be available for you to lobby if you knock out 2 and 3?
Well, I think that comes to a question of standing, whether this is a moot case or not. We've established in the record that the veterans are very concerned about the gambling bills that are being passed in the legislature, or being considered in the legislature. They are also concerned about those other matters. The Institute for Disability Access, called ADAPT, is very concerned about educating lawmakers about disability rights. They want to use their bingo revenue for that. So there's many instances in the record of what these charities want to use their revenue for.
But you haven't tried to use that concept that the lobbying you're doing is part and parcel of your charitable function and purpose in any applied case.
Well, if we're talking about a situation where the charity doesn't have to break the law and then invite prosecution for breaking the law in order to bring a First Amendment challenge to a statute, if the statute is facially unconstitutional, which we assume that
well,
it is.
Well, I you're right on that rule of law, but I don't understand why this is 40 years after the fact that you're bringing it up. It seems to me if it was so self-evident that the limitation in the Bingo Enabling Act was unconstitutional, it would have been brought up as an applied complaint.
Well, Your Honor, we didn't, you know, they didn't know that there was a right for women to have an abortion until Roe versus Wade was issued. It was only after that women would have been able to say, no, I have a constitutional right.
What does that have to do with the charitable?
Well,
function?
Because when Citizens United came out, that crystallized the issue.
So you're back to Citizens United.
Yes.
So that you're saying that's what started you thinking about what you ought to be doing. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. The case is very clear, and Justice Kennedy's, I believe, opinion was very clear that it said nothing, there is no compelling state interest that allows the government to restrict political speech by for-profit or not-for-profit corporations. So we do believe that that was an important case, and that
the
is
government in this case. Your argument is they're restricting your political speech.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, what they're doing is they're saying you can't use the money from gambling to pay for your political speech.
Yes, Your Honor.
You can use all your other money.
I want to give a
except
little
bit. The money from gambling.
Yes, Your Honor. I want the court to understand what occupational licenses are. A license is where the government denies a right to the general public and then selectively gives it back. My law license, for example, that is an
What right was denied in this case? The right to gamble?
Well, we start with the proposition that the state has elected to prohibit gambling in Texas. So first off, the state has said no gambling. And then in the Bingo Enabling Act, they have selectively given it back. So if you look at civil rights, like you look at property rights, like sticks in a bundle, what they've done is they've said they've taken away all the rights, no gambling. And then they've given some of the rights back.
Under restrictions.
But we're going to withhold this one here, which is the right to speech. We're going to put that back in the things that still prohibit. So what the state views as an act of benevolence is really an act of coercion. What they're saying is that speech is still prohibited, even if the bingo is. For example, if I take a dollar away from you, and then I give you back 75 cents, what I've effectively done is taken a quarter away from you. So in Russ versus Sullivan, where the Supreme Court says that the government is not required to remove obstacles not of its own making, it's telling us that when the obstacle is of the government's making, First Amendment rights do apply.
So you're saying that the fact that the Texas Constitution prohibits gambling across the board is the way that you get an interference with free speech?
The Texas Constitution's prohibition on gambling across the board is a generally applicable statute that can be justified.
It's a constitutional provision.
Yes, Your Honor. That can be justified by any number of substantial interests. When it chooses to give a limited right back but withholds the right to speech, at that point it is discriminating specifically against speech. And so we do.
Except you didn't challenge the Texas State Constitution in this case.
Your Honor, the Texas State Constitution does not prohibit speech. It grants the right to free speech. That's in the Constitution.
But the Texas State Constitution prohibits gambling, which is the reason you're here.
Yes, sir.
And I say the reason. I know you're talking about free speech, but we're here because there's the gambling which allows you to have this revenue stream.
Yep.
That's prohibited by the Texas Constitution. So if we strike from the statute those provisions, tell me how the Texas Constitution looming out there doesn't affect this case.
Okay, Texas Constitution says no gambling and then says there's an exception. Bingo is okay. But then there's an exception to the exception, which is bingo-funded speech is not okay. So that then goes back into the camp of what's been prohibited. That you don't need to challenge the Constitution to say that, to have a problem with that. You need to challenge the exception to the exception, which is what we're challenging here.
But there is one of the exceptions that you're not challenging. That's the one about paying monies to political candidates. Why isn't that out of order if the other two sections are?
Only because the Supreme Court, Your Honor, has upheld contribution limits in the way that they have rejected independent expenditure limits. I just want to give the court an example in my brief remaining time of why this statute is really absurd in practice. If the Catholic pro-charities, pro-life charities of North Texas, which is a licensed bingo charity, wanted to take out a billboard that said, "Choose life," they would be able to do that if the intent of that billboard was to discourage a woman from having an abortion. They would not be able to do that, and their members could go to jail for a year if the purpose of that billboard was in any way meant to influence someone to vote on something against abortion. So this is a statute that is a plain restriction on speech. It's already been decided under 44 Liquormart that the mere licensing of an activity is not grounds to limit speech. And I don't think it takes much further to say that the mere licensing of bingo presents a ground to limit speech. So with that, I'll reserve my time unless the court has any questions.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rebuttal?
May it please the court. Pro-Life Charities of North Texas is certainly free to take out a billboard. If that billboard is about influencing legislation, then they can't do it with whatever small sliver of their budget comes from charitable bingo revenue. If they did, they would probably get a slap on the wrist from the Texas Lottery Commission. Charities have now argued that the touchstone of this court's analysis should be whether public funds are involved. They have said that there are no public funds involved in a license. But there are no public funds involved in a tax exemption either. The way a tax exemption operates is it allows a taxpayer, like you or I, to give money directly to a charity and then not pay income tax to the government. That money never passes through the government. And there are no public funds involved in licenses either. The problem with this definition, with using public funds as the touchstone, is it just cannot account for numerous United States Supreme Court decisions that are cited in our brief. I'd like to briefly discuss two of the cases that they have identified as critical, and that's Riley and 44 Liquor Mart. And both of those are distinguishable on the same basis, and those are complete bans on speech. There was no requirement to segregate funds. There was no way that those entities could lobby using their own money. Those, like Citizens United, are complete bans. On top of that, a liquor license is not a public subsidy. If there are no more questions, I yield the remainder of my time to the court.
Well, one problem is, I don't know that we're aided beyond where we started in the sense that, we have this sort of huge dichotomy of how to characterize this whole situation. And don't take it personal, but I'm not sure how much help we've gotten. In dealing with that. And what I mean is, we started off with, you say it's a subsidy, he says it's licensing. That's where we started, that's where we still are. And it makes a difference, at least in my mind, of, what the characterization is, what the proper nomenclature is in order for us to be informed by the proper legal methodology, driving this. And so it's not helpful. I guess it's sort of catharsis, in trying to deal with what's here in that, at least in a case, if we all can figure out what the standard review is, then we press on. But if we're still at this divide over whether this is a subsidy, or whether it's a licensing, we aren't told by the nature of the statute, we aren't told by any legislation. There's nothing that informs us. We're almost where we are in a lot of cases, making the proverbial eerie guess of whether this is, is that. And it's not inconsequential. It's not inconsequential here. So I'm just not sure.
I'm sorry I can't give a more helpful answer than this, but I guess I could leave you.
This is the only carve-out, I guess, right? I'm not from Texas. This limited exception vis-a-vis the bingo, et cetera, et cetera, it's the only exception.
Right. It's a very narrow exception to the concept. Right, this is it. It's charity, and then I guess you could say the Texas Lottery itself. But, Your Honor, the courts and academics have struggled a long time trying to impose any sort of grand unifying theory on these unconstitutional conditions cases. And I think Your Honor has correctly identified one of the touch points in it is that distinction. But, there is no way to capture all of these cases, and you've seen the law review articles and cases I cited in my brief talk about it. It really is an impossible task, and so I think what courts typically do is issue narrow case-by-case decisions in this matter, and so the context really matters. And so you have to look at the background conditions, you have to look at what is being granted, and I think in looking at the context of this case on this record, this is a subsidy to these handful of charities that participate in the program.
Well, one argument was made, I suppose, and I don't know, given the number of plaintiffs here, I have no sense of the variation in terms of the size of their treasuries, if you will. I thought I heard the argument that In other words, the state says, well, you can use any of your other monies to, you know, for political purposes. You can't use the subsidy. But I thought I heard the argument, okay, there are other restrictions, say, with the bingo that limit using the other money for other things. So, in other words, is the argument there are enough other restrictions on whatever's in the drawer, the cash drawer, such that their complaint is that by the time you apply these other strictures, there is no other money to use for these political purposes other than this pot of money? Is that what then has driven this lawsuit?
Well, what my friend, I think, was saying is that the Bingo Act does not in any way address what they can do with their own money. The only thing it restricts is what they can do with bingo funds. And I think what he was discussing is that the Bingo Act does say you may not use bingo funds to defray certain administrative expenses. But all that shows is that the Bingo Act, back to my hypothetical, you may only use this money to send care packages to troops. That's the nature of it. It's a very limited number of things you can spend it on. You can't even spend it on your internal operating expenses. This is to paint the church's pews. And so, I think what that it actually helps us. I mean, what that shows is this isn't a case about the government trying to suppress some dangerous idea. This is just a case of it providing a subsidy and saying there here are a narrow list of items which you may spend that subsidy on and on nothing else.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank both counsel for your briefing and argument.